Last night, in our first session, we began with a somewhat more general overall word regarding the burden for the next generation, touching upon both the children and our young people. This morning, the two sessions that we had were really focused on the parents, the side of the parents, and what we can do to cooperate with the Lord, give the Lord our best cooperation in the raising up of the children for the next, raising up the next generation. With this lesson tonight, we come more to the matter of the children's meeting in the church, and the neighborhood children's meetings. That is, those children's meetings, not necessarily on the Lord's Day morning, when most of the churches have the children's meeting, although not all the churches have the children's meeting on Lord's Day morning, but not that children's meeting carried out by the church that has a kind of coordination some prayer together and so on, and fellowship, and then has lessons and under the guidance of the brothers. In addition to that, we can have what we call the neighborhood children's meetings, which is something carried out by the saints. It's still in coordination with others, could be, but actually a family could carry something out on their own. So this kind of neighborhood children's meeting, we'll talk about both. Some of the principles, many of the principles, are the same, but there are some differences. The history, you could say, of the care for the children in the church is somewhat like this. In the early days, you know, our history goes back to the Lord's recovery in the time of Brother Watchman Nee. And during those days, actually, they did not pay too much attention to the matter of the children. Even all the way to the time when Brother Lee was sent out to Taiwan. And I think many of us know the story that Brother Nee realized the communists were coming, and he encouraged Brother Lee to go out to preserve what we had in the Lord's recovery. So he went to Taiwan there were about 350 saints there in Taipei. And within 5 years, there were about 20,000. It was a remarkable time in the Lord's recovery. Well, with those 20,000, there came thousands of children. That's only logical. We gained thousands of children. So the question is, what to do with the children? You have to do something with the children. You know, in those days, the meeting halls in Taipei, especially the first hall, was one large room. I think a number of you know Brother Benjamin Chen, who passed away about a year ago. Brother Benjamin, he came into the Lord's recovery during that period of time. Brother Benjamin and his mother are part of those 20,000, right? They came in. And so he saw the things there firsthand and related many things to us. And so the meeting hall was basically one big room, not at all like this facility, this marvelous facility that you have here with this very interesting architecture and rooms everywhere. You could get lost in this building. There's a room here and there and another door and another bathroom and another storage room and, oh, there's a kitchen and so many things. Not like this. And I saw that you have downstairs rooms for each level has their room, and one is wonderful, wonderful. Taipei was not like this. It was one large room. So the saints, though, lived close by around this hall. So what they did was they arranged for various homes to take care of the children. But only with one function, babysitting. But not actually, babysitting wasn't the real function. Babysitting was how they carried it out. The real function is allow more parents to go to the church meeting. That's the function. That's the first function of the children's meeting. That's not a bad function. Don't overlook or disregard this function. You know, actually, saints, as believers, our first service to God is the church meeting. We should honor the church meeting. Our first service is the church meeting. This is actually based on Exodus, where the Lord tells Moses to relate this to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Then another place says, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. How did they serve the Lord? They served the Lord by meeting and feasting. And both Brother Nee and Brother Lee made this point. The most important service is the church meeting. Not children's meeting. Not young people's meeting. Not ushering. All those things are for the church meeting, to facilitate the church meeting. The expression of the church is in the church meeting. So we should build up and prioritize the church meeting. And we should try our best, if possible, to avoid serving so often that we're used to not coming to the church meeting. In some places, especially in some smaller places, this is the case. We're, you know, in our situation, we're just starting a new district, all number 5 of the church in New York City. And I've been there in this new district the first 2 weeks, right? And I went outside to check to see how the services are. And the second week I saw, oh, all these sisters, 2 weeks in a row. They missed the meeting. I told them, will you be in the church meeting next week? Oh, no, brother, because we're still learning how to do. Oh, I warned them. I told them, don't get in this habit of missing the church meeting. You need to be in the church meeting. We should have a good coordination, good rotation. The most important service is the church meeting. Okay. But as relating to the children, to allow more parents to come to the church meeting, that's very good. After a little time, the brothers began to realize, oh, we have these children in our hands for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours every week. And what were we doing? Just babysitting them. This is not good enough. We have to take advantage of this to cultivate their spiritual education. And a great part of cultivating the spiritual education is building up proper humanity. So then the brothers began to coordinate, to have especially many, many sisters involved, to write some lessons, spend time with the children. You know, the children in elementary school, generally, elementary school, from grade 1 through 6, or from kindergarten through 5, depending on what the break-off is in your place. We have 6 years, at least. In some children's meetings, it's actually 8 years, because we include the kindergarten and the pre-kindergarten. Do you know, even let's just take 6 years. You know, in 6 years, you have, in 6 years, yes, 6 years, you have 300 Lord's days. If it's 8 years, you have 400 Lord's days to work on this child. Consider what level you teach. Maybe you teach third grade, so they're already halfway through. 200 passed, 200 to go. Have you maximized these past 200 Lord's days? Have you done as much as you could? And do you have a plan for the next 200? You need to consider this way. Each year, I know it's not exactly 300 or 400. I do know that there are 52 weeks in a year. But no one comes every week. And people take vacations. So let the children and the family take 2 weeks vacation. That's why I say 50. I'm also following Brother Lee in the book. He says 50. 300. 300 opportunities to sow something into this child. That is not a small thing. Teachers, serving saints, I hope I can uplift your view to see what an opportunity you have to work on the children. Yes, I know, based on this morning's fellowship, the parents' influence is the most. The parents' living is important. Yes. But, still, 400 Lord's days, that's not insignificant, where you have an opportunity to infuse them with something. Week after week, to build up their humanity, to teach them how to be a proper human being. Not a small thing. To accomplish this, you need especially two skills. Maybe I would say three. The third one is not a skill, but you need three things. You know, when you're dealing with the children, always three things. Especially the neighborhood children's meeting, you can summarize in these three things. Is it okay if I write? Right? Yeah. When you deal with the children, three S's. Right. What's the first one? Yes, singing. What's the second one? Story. Well, you may give a snack first, but anyway. Yeah. And then I gave away the next one. Snack. If you have these three things, you can gain children. Just do this, you gain a lot of children. But I would say the first two require skill. Skill. You have to learn to do it. Even you don't learn to do it, if you just love them, you still be successful. If you give a good snack. The snack makes up for a lot of things. But love makes up for everything. Behind this, love. Love. But singing is very important in children's ministry. Singing. To sing first proper songs. Proper songs. Not songs that convey premature knowledge. Proper songs at their level. And it's good to sing to them. It's good to sing with them. You know, singing is just the best teaching tool. By singing, you memorize without trying. It just gets into you. It just gets into you. But we need, saints, enjoyable singing. Enjoyable singing. I have witnessed some saints leading the singing. What I could use. I'll borrow a pen. The teacher would say, that's the line of the song. Like, he's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is a... Okay, boys, that's as animated as they get. Yeah, that does not attract the children. You need to be living. You need to be charming. Basically, you need to get out of yourself. Out of yourself. I witnessed some sisters to do this. And one sister, she was very good. It was the time to start. Well, actually, it was early. It was about 9:45 or about 9:50 in the morning. And already many children are there. And the sister would just start. Good morning, children. Good morning. Children, what time is it? What time is it? And the children already knew. They just start singing it. It's meeting time. And that's very good. It's meeting time. It's meeting. And it just was brought in an atmosphere. Her happiness was very infusing. Very infusing. And then, it's meeting time. Hi, hi. And because the little ones are sitting up front. Of course, she was just kind of demonstrating something. But we like to have two or three even to lead together. And pray for that. You have to pray for that. Don't just, what's the phrase we use? Wing it. Oh, who's leading? Oh, yeah. Who's going to do it today? Do you want to do it today? No, I did it last week. You know? Oh, your throat hurts? Okay, Mayor, why don't you do it? Okay, I'll do it. Okay, children, let's see. What's the song? Oh, yeah. I think I know this one. Okay, it's meeting time. Yeah. Not like that. You have to pray. You have to prepare. This is actually the ministry of John the Baptist. To prepare the way of the Lord. The singing is what opens their hearts to the word that is coming later. So you need to what? You need to fill the valleys. You need to bring down the mountain. You know, many times the children come to the meeting, valley. Why? Because on the way to the meeting, maybe this never happened to you. It's Lord's Day morning. Time to go! Come on! And the mommy's racing, and daddy, and then daddy's in the car already waiting. Honking. Or maybe comes in. What's going on? I've been waiting. And Tommy, get your coat. Susie, where's your memory verse? Where's your memory verse? We have to learn it on the way to the meeting. Okay, confess. How many of you did the memory verse on the way to the meeting? Who? Oh, no, it's okay. It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. Yeah. Where's your verse? Where's your verse? I can't find it. And what? And then you get upset with them because you did not help them with their verse all week long. But you're upset with them because they can't find the paper. So, by the time they go in, the mommy comes in, the children come in, and then the father comes in, sits at the Lord's table. Oh, every one of them needs John the Baptist. So you need someone so loving. Hi, children. Hi. Oh, Mayor. It's okay, Mayor, it's okay. Very happy, welcoming, full of love. Just full of love. That's just for singing. That's just for singing. And very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. I do know, though, you face this problem. Sometimes the older children don't like to sing with the younger children because the songs are too babyish. Well, you have to face. What do you do? I would say, I don't know. We have to find a way. Because, of course, one way is to have two different openings. Another way is to have the older children be pseudo-serving ones to help you, assign them. You assign them to one of the little children to help the little children enjoy. Don't think they don't have the capacity for that, to be a big brother today. Who's going to be our big brothers and our big sisters today? Oh. And you can train them that way. Anyway, my point is pray. Find a way. And so the singing can be very, very enjoyable. Then the story. With the story, we have to practice. Practice how to tell a good story. You have to practice. And I would encourage you, try your best to bring in young people, college students, university students. Some of them are very good. And because they're younger, they can relate to the children very well. We, as the older ones, should always be in perfecting mode, trying to bring others in, trying to bring others up. Don't always have the thought, I can do it better. Don't always have the thought. Maybe you can. You probably can. Actually, you should be able to do it better. But we need to perfect others. We need to make room for others. And maybe they will make some mistakes along the way. We're not their judges. We're their mentors. We're their perfectors. So we need some that can tell the story in such a way that they draw the interest of the children. It makes a very, very big difference. And that part cannot be too long. The part of teaching the lesson does not need to be too long. If it's effective, you can do something even in 10 minutes, 20 minutes to put something into the children. And then you move on, either to the snack or to some craft, something that will support the lesson in some way, something that you make that, some of the sisters are very skillful in selecting the crafts. They really put their heart into making the crafts. Then the children have something that will be a reminder for the lesson that they can go home with. And then their family can participate to memorize the verse together. In our family, what we used to do was to have, we had our little 15-minute, we call it a home meeting, but it was with just our family, just the children. I would get the guitar, we would sing. We'd sing, what do you want to sing? Not my songs, we'd sing their songs. What do you want to sing? They all could choose a song, and we just sing with them. We do the motions, if it has the motions. And then each of them, we get to tell them, where's your memory verse? Where's your memory verse? And we practice each one's memory verse all together. We all learned everybody's memory verse. Of course, many times, at least two of the three had the same verse. So we practiced together. So it became a family event. Family event. Not Lord's Day morning. Actually, Thursday evening was when we used to practice, because that was my only night off of the week. But the crafts also can be something very helpful, right? But basically, it's the three S's. Singing, story, snack. Whether it's in the neighborhood children's meeting or in the church children's meeting. But they all require preparation. Preparation. We shouldn't think that if we're going to prophesy, we need to pray and prepare. But to teach the children, just give me the lesson. Let me read the story, and then I'll do something. It's not so simple. You have to consider your group. The same lesson for the level 1, very different presentation than for level two. And again, much different than level three. We need to have a lot of thought, a lot of fellowship. That's why we encourage the serving ones to pray together every week, to pray together and consider together. Suppose we five brothers here, these four brothers and I, we five brothers are one group. It shouldn't be that, oh, you're serving this week? Good luck. And I have a week off because I'm not serving this week. Then the second week, the Lord be with your spirit. Yeah. Now it's my turn. This week, oh Lord Jesus. Oh, what's the lesson? I get the lesson early. I pray. Actually, we should pray together every week. And I know the lesson, I prepare, and it's their turn. But I said, oh, you know, what I enjoyed, maybe this kind of illustration, and I offer it to the brothers. Maybe they take it, maybe they use it, maybe they don't use it, but that's my contribution. And we all fellowship and bear the burden together. At the very least, we come together to pray for all the children, name by name. That's a very great service. So, you see, this became the second burden of the children's meeting. The first is just to allow more parents to go. The first was to allow the parents to go to the meeting. The second is to build up the spiritual, cultivate the spiritual education. In this way, over the course of how many years, right? 6 or 8 years. If you include the young people's meeting, it becomes 12 or 14 years like this. The third function is what we're really touching tonight. Increase. Gaining new children. So that eventually we gain new families. We did not realize that the children could be a great gospel work. Okay, let's come to this outline. Let's read Romans 1. Many years ago, when the children go through the children's meeting, and they get to the age that they can have some comprehension concerning salvation, they get saved, they become our brothers and sisters, now they're in the Lord's table. Do you realize this is our gospel fruit? Somehow we consider them different than when we have a gospel meeting, we preach the gospel, and five new ones get saved and get baptized. But this is also the fruit of our gospel work. Actually, the children's meeting is a prolonged gospel work. Prolonged gospel work. And not only so, when they bring other children into the children's meeting, whether it's through the church children's meeting or the neighborhood children's meeting, the potential of gaining families for the church. You'll see what Brother Lee says here. The potential is immeasurable. Okay, let's continue. Sisters, could you please read A? Amen. Brothers. Sisters. We certainly value every soul, every person that would be saved. But we have to be honest, realistic. When someone is saved, maybe when they're 20, 25, or 40 years old, with that much experience in the world, there may be damage already from the world. At the very least, they start their Christian pursuit a little bit later. Our children, they could be saved at 10, 11, 12 years old. By the time they are 20 years old, they already could have a solid foundation in their Christian life. They could be the ones to be sent to the campuses to bring in people. It's very valuable to gain someone when they're younger. And then if we gain their friends, do you know how much damage we're avoiding by gaining a child from our neighborhood, from our children's school? We're avoiding the damage of the world. We're building something, the proper humanity in them. By the time they become a teenager, they could be a fine young person. It's very valuable to gain someone when they're younger. Point B says, when children are saved, they become our young brothers and sisters. After they graduate from primary school, they become the seeds of the gospel in the junior high school. What is a seed? Seed is a container of life. So when the children are younger in elementary school, they might invite their friends. We don't refer to them as the seeds of the gospel, although they could still be very good in inviting friends. A seed is a life container. So those who receive the Lord, maybe in sixth grade or in junior high school, they can go to their campuses to be the seeds of the gospel. Actually, from our experience, when we have the gospel meeting among the young people, the ones who bring most friends are those in seventh and eighth grade. Many of them are very fresh in their salvation. They like to bring their friends. We should take advantage of that kind of heart before they get cold. Actually, if they bring some friends to the Lord, they won't get cold. They will be burning together. So we need to pay attention. Seeds of the gospel in junior high school. Number one, when we work in the schools, the young brothers and sisters become, well, look at this phrase, our inside helpers. Our inside helpers. And bring classmates to us. In this way, it is easier to work in the junior high schools. The young brothers and sisters in a junior high can be likened to little seeds. They are waiting to sprout by responding to our call and bringing their classmates to salvation. You know, we have sometimes some full-time serving ones. They go to the college campuses and they preach the gospel. Well, our full-timers can't do this in the high schools and junior high schools. But if we have inside people, they can do the work for us. Actually, those inside people are the full-timers of the future for the college campuses. Are we up to C? Yes, C. When they enter into high school, they again become seeds of the gospel. During their 3 years of high school, they can bring three times as many people to salvation. When these young saints finish high school and enter college, they are the seeds of the gospel in their college. Of course, by now, they also go through the summer school of truth. And to have that foundation in them on the university campuses, what kind of co-workers can we have on the campuses? In this way, the number of people saved is continually multiplied. Okay, let's read E together. Suppose these children, okay, now in F, we move on to the neighborhood children's meeting. We should not do a work merely among the children in the church. Our work must include the children outside the church. This is the children's gospel work. Every children's home meeting should frequently preach the gospel and invite their relatives and the children of their neighbors. Even though some parents will not come, they will allow their children to come. We believe that many people will be brought in through the children's gospel work. The children's meetings will open up a way to gain people, especially the parents of other children. We should not limit our work to the children of the saints who are in our meetings. We also need to invite the children of our neighbors and friends. Furthermore, we hope that every home will be opened for the gospel. If we continue the children's work, we will be unable to estimate the long-term results. If we labor on the children, our numbers continually grow. Maybe at this point I'll pause and tell you a little bit of my testimony. For some of you who have been in our trainings before, you might have heard this. You know, my family is from Puerto Rico, the island of Puerto Rico in the Caribbean Sea. And I won't get into it too much, but this is really an act of the leader and the savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because that territory, that little island, used to be under Spanish rule, and therefore Catholic, but under Spanish rule. And in the War of 1898, the United States and Spain had a war, and the U.S., United States won, and they took over Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Philippines, actually a number of smaller islands, Guam, a number of places. And very interesting, Cuba was granted its independence. Puerto Rico became a territory of the United States. So Puerto Rico just changed the hats. We belong to Spain, now we belong to the United States. Oh, some people were very upset with that. And then they look at Cuba. Hey, they're free. But do you know, after 40 years, oh no, a little longer than that, someone rose up and closed the nation of Cuba through communism. They became an atheist state. But Puerto Rico, being a territory of the United States, it's like being in a state. It's like being in New Jersey. You don't need a passport. You just travel to anywhere in the United States. So my father actually was a professional baseball player. Yeah. It's not a big deal. That's not as big a deal as it sounds. Yeah, yeah. In those days in Puerto Rico, we call it semi-pro. And he wasn't that good. He confesses that he wasn't that good. Yeah. One of his brothers was really good. But anyway, he could earn more money being a carpenter than a ball player. That's not true today. Yeah. But he could earn more money being a carpenter, so he quit baseball to work as a carpenter. Then he found out in the 50s that he could earn more money being a carpenter in New York City than in Puerto Rico. So for the American dream, he moved. He got a job the next day, the very next day. He got an apartment, and he sent for my mother and my three siblings. I was not born yet. This was in 1954. They got an apartment in Manhattan, in an area that we call the Lower East Side. Well, within two weeks, on that second Saturday, there was I'm knocking on the door. So my mother answers. It's a woman in her 30s. And by that time, my mother was in her mid to late 30s. This woman welcomes her to the neighborhood. Welcomes her. And then she says, do you have children? Actually, I know that that woman knew already that there were children in this apartment. That's why she came here. Do you have children? I teach the Bible to children every Saturday afternoon for an hour. And if you'd like to send them, I really would like to take them. So my mother, she called herself a Christian, but she was not. She was a nominal Christian. She was actually an Episcopalian. But she respected the Bible, and she loved her children. Now you say you want to teach the Bible to my children. Sounds good. So she sent them. My brothers were 10, 8 years old, and my sister was 6. Well, after an hour or so, an hour and a half, they come back. Oh, my sister loves this thing. Oh, I want to go next week. I want to go next week. My mother's very curious over this. So the following week, Mrs. Petralli, was her name, she came and took them. And my mother sent them. But this time, after a few moments, she followed them to see, where is this? Where are you taking my children? And so on. And she described this to me. She said she got to this place, there was a storefront, a door that leads upstairs, and there was a room. These two women, rented a room every Saturday afternoon. This was not sponsored by the denomination. They were meeting with the Brethren denomination, but this was not sponsored by the denomination. This was their burden. And out of their pocket, they paid to rent this one room for a couple of hours. And my mother described, I think, it's not from there, what she described to me, it's smaller than from here to that back wall curtain, and probably the size of these chairs, the width of these chairs. It was a room. 35 to 40 children with two women. No books, no projectors, nothing, except three things. They practiced this. They sang to the children. And then they sang with the children. And the children learned songs. And then they told a story, a little snack. And then they sent them home or walked them home. Well, my mother was drawn to these two ladies. So, from the third week, she became their helper. So she always took the children and helped them. Within 6 months, my sister received the Lord. Then my mother received the Lord. And then they joined this Brethren denomination. I was born 4 years later, so I was born into that. But it was because of Neighborhood Children's Meeting. My brothers were probably saved through them. Although they didn't follow the Lord, eventually in the church life, we baptized my two brothers. And my father was stubborn. He took 35 years. But in 1989, I led my father to the Lord. Now, my father he's still alive. My father's almost 98 years old. Father's almost 98. And he has seen his fifth generation. We have two in the fifth generation. Of course, they are still very young. But from the fourth generation up, almost everyone is saved. Almost everyone is saved. And my generation, we're all saved. And our spouses, the next generation, all my children and their spouses, and all in that generation, the third generation, saved except for for two. My mother brought most of them to the Lord while she was still living. And then my son has picked up where my mother left off, one by one. And then, actually, my son has worked on the fourth generation. Some of them are baptized now. So do you know, all of us are the fruit of Sister Petrali. That day when she faces the Lord, I don't know how many times my story is multiplied in those 35 or 40 children. I don't know what their stories are. But she will not go to the Lord empty-handed. Sisters, you could do the same. You could do the same just with the ones around you, just with your neighbors, just with your children's friends, and some now with your grandchildren's friends. You could be the same. You don't go to the Lord empty-handed. Say, Lord, I didn't do much. I don't speak well, but I love to sing. And I love children. I got somebody else to do the story, and I bake some good cookies. And here's what I have, Lord. All the children. Wouldn't you like to face the Lord that way? And you can. You can. We owe a debt to Sister Petrali. She never got to know our coming to the church life. She never got to know. She went to the Lord. All our endeavors, all the ones we've brought, actually, to some degree, they all are her fruit too. Sisters, this is waiting for you. This is waiting for you. We can continue reading. H. We must realize that the children's work is a crucial burden. Let's read this together. Let's read the whole H together. We must realize that Brother Lee's words. When we preach the gospel, we frequently have to go out to gain people. We even go to the campuses to gain people. These people are along the roads and hedges. There is only one group of people who are not along the roads, the children in our own homes. The people along the roads might come today or tomorrow, but the people in our homes will always be there. Furthermore, our children can bring other children. There's a sister in New York. She was living in a 5 or 6 story apartment building. And has an elevator. She had a newborn. And very often she would going to the store, going for a walk, or going outside to get some air with her baby less than a year old. Even just at the elevator, waiting for the elevator, you have a stroller, around the corner comes another stroller. Or you wait for the elevator door to open, another stroller comes out. And the new mothers, hi, oh, I'm new here, oh, welcome, oh, how old, oh, how cute, oh, how this. The mothers just, this sister picked up this burden. And she asked a few other sisters to pray with her. Within 6 months, she had 5 women in her building. She was meeting with them every week. And very interesting, each one of the 5, a different ethnicity. She had Caucasian, African American, Hispanic, Vietnamese, and I forgot I think the other one may have been from Middle Eastern. In one building, without leaving the front door, she was preaching the gospel to all the nations. That's in her 6-story apartment building. Why? Because of her boy. If she didn't have her boy, then at the elevator, you come out, you hi, and you just go in. But because of her little gospel magnet, oh, you know, sisters, isn't this, come on, where's Naomi? Is Naomi here? Naomi's not here, right? When you walk with little Naomi, everybody talks to you. You could be holding here, and then you hear it behind you. Maybe you're in the line in the market, and you're trying to pay, and then behind you, somebody, and you look, oh hi, and they're talking to the baby. I have 2 grandchildren. I know, what a shock. Too young. But I have 2 grandchildren. So I visit them. They're in California. And I like to take them for walks, you know. And so there's 16 months and 7 months. But especially when they're the younger one. When you carry them, everybody says hello to me. If I'm just walking, people. But when I'm carrying my granddaughter, everybody's so nice to me. The babies are a real gospel magnet. We could take advantage of that. I tell you, sisters, you say, oh, I don't go to any meetings. Oh, I'm in prison. Oh, with my child. Some sisters feel this way. I tell you, you go out and you have the baby, and somebody go, ooh, ooh, like this. Anybody that goes to your baby, ooh, ooh, if you say, oh, sir, excuse me, could I give you this pamphlet? No one will reject. Everyone will say, oh, thank you. And you say, God bless you. They'll take it. Oh, you should have diapers, wipes, tracks. Maybe a... what is it? BFC? BFC, bro. Little BFC. Oh, everyone will take it. I'm serious. Be equipped. Be equipped. In London, 2 testimonies that happened in London, UK. One sister told us, and you'll see, this is because of proper humanity, building up the proper humanity. In a neighborhood children's meeting, they taught the children. Okay, come here, Mary. They taught the children a song. Do you know this song? If you bump into somebody, say you're sorry, say you're sorry. No, it's easy. Okay, so the children go like this. If you bump into somebody, say you're sorry, say you're sorry. If you bump into somebody, say you're sorry to them. That's the song. Okay, good. You did that very well, Mayor. So, the sister goes to the playground, and she has at least 2 children. I heard this secondhand. One child playing over there in the kind of sand, with some sand or something. And then she's here with her younger one. And when she looks up, oh, her child is with another child, and the mother is there talking. She goes, oh no, what did he do now? Okay. So she gets her baby and comes over and says, I'm sorry, what happened, and so on. She goes, this is your boy? Says, yes. Your boy just stumbled and bumped into my son. And then he stood up and started to sing a song. So he didn't say sorry. He sang the sorry bump song to the other boy. The other mother is bewildered. Like, what is this? So our sister explained, oh, this is what he learned. And we have a neighborhood meeting where we teach them some building up their humanity and so on. And she goes, can my son participate in such a meeting? And she said, well, sure, but, you know, it is Christian, because this woman was a Muslim. She was Muslim. She said, I don't care. I want my children to learn these kinds of things. So she sent her children to our neighborhood children's meeting. Another sister, she actually just moved from the United States for the Lord's move, she and her husband. They moved to London. When she got there, she took over, or they took over an apartment that was occupied by saints before them. And it just happens that it's in a T. Like this. So it's the end of a street. And the apartments go like this. Her door is here. Her door is here. So it faces this corner. So she moves there. And then she starts to realize that at that corner, you know, many children in the neighborhood. But you know, when the children take a pause, they're playing, and now it's time to rest. That's the hangout corner. So on the curb, many children sitting there, and some of them with their bicycles. But that's where they talk. So she sees these children, and she had practice when she was in the States, the neighborhood children's meeting. This just drew her heart. Oh, the children. Now, she's a grandmother. She's a grandmother. So she doesn't have any children living there. Her heart was, oh, Lord, the children. So she called another sister, and she prayed with her. This was a young sister. They prayed together. What shall we do? So the Lord gave her inspiration. So she baked some cookies. One day she just came out and said, hello, children. My name is so-and-so. I live right here. And I'm your neighbor. And I baked you some cookies. Would anybody like? And, well, you know, she did that. She did it, I think, the following week. She did it again. So she's the cookie lady. She's the cookie lady. Then, one day with the cookies, she comes with a small invitation to her neighborhood meeting. And they could take it home. And she made this, and you open, and what it is, and come and hear stories of the Bible. It's very clear. You're upfront with what you're doing. Stories of the Bible. And what time, and her phone number, so the parents can call if they need information. By the time I visited them, they had been doing this, I think, for about 4 months, 3 or 4 months. They were working every week with more than 35 children, all from the neighborhood. It became so big that she doesn't fit 35 children, people, into that apartment. I was there. When I heard the story, I invited myself over. I told the brother, please invite me for dinner. I need to talk to your wife to find out this story. And please invite the other sister. And by that time, three sisters were working together. So I got this directly from them. So actually, they had to open their home 2 afternoons a week, like Wednesday, Thursday. And you were either in one group or the other. You can't come to both. And she told us the stories of how, oh, when they started, oh, the children were uncontrollable. And they, on the couch, they're jumping on the, and she goes, not here. No, this is not the behavior here. If you do this, you're not allowed to come. I'm sorry, you have to leave. No. For the cookie lady, all the children behave so well. She has this reputation. So they were working with all these children. 3 or 4 months, saints. 3 or 4 months. I know another case. This is in Brazil. In Brazil, not in Sao Paulo, another town outside of Sao Paulo. Same thing. The sisters just had, this was actually in quite a depressed area. And the sisters there, coming to these meetings like this, they just had the burden. They were praying. And one particular sister, she asked the sisters to pray with her. Four of them prayed together. They also, within 6 months, 38 children. They made a video for me to show me. They made a video. And some of them, they interview the children to ask, what do you like about the children's meeting? Oh, it makes you want to cry to see these children full of hope. Full of hope now. Do you know? One day, someone broke into their home and stole, I think it was a television. And when the children heard about it, they went back and told their parents, oh, Mrs. So-and-so, they're my, oh, do you know? That television was returned. I told you it was a depressed neighborhood. And because of the work they're doing, a couple of fathers came over and they said, we appreciate what you're doing. No one did this for us when we were children. And basically told them, we're going to take care of you. A few days later, the television was returned. Oh, we have all sorts of stories through the neighborhood children's meetings. What a blessing. What a blessing. But I know that with some sisters, there's a certain fear. Oh, that sounds good for Brazil, for London, for New York, but that could, I don't think that could ever be in Montreal. It can. You say, oh, but to prepare a children's meeting like we do on the Lord's Day, to have that every week in my house? No, that's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. You don't have to reproduce what we do on the Lord's Day. And you don't even have to do every week. You could do every 2 weeks. You could do it once a month. You could do it on the school breaks, on the holiday time. All the children are off, something special to look forward to. But some of you do have the capacity to do every week. You just need helpers. Don't do it alone. Do it in the body. And try your best to get the young people involved. They can help you. They're good storytellers. Let them tell the story. Just provide the home and the snack. And let the younger ones do the lead the singing and tell the story. Sisters, you could do this. This would bring great blessing to the church. Maybe you will find someone like my family. Maybe you will find a mom with three children that eventually will come to the Lord's recovery. And all the fruit actually becomes your crown. You never know. You never know with the children what their potential will be. And earlier we read, even if half, only half stay, what great blessing that could bring to the church. So I hope you would consider this. I hope you would pray for this. Lord, would you do something? Would you do something here in Montreal? Would you do something here in Toronto? Would you do something here in Ottawa? Lord, would you really do it? And Lord, could you do it through me? Lord, I know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not a strong one, but I'm willing. I'm willing. If this is your burden, I'm willing. I'm willing at least to pray. I'm willing at least to pray with others and share the burden. Lord, would you do something for your church? I just offer myself to you. Oh, I hope some of you would really speak this before the Lord. Amen. We still have 10 minutes for some responses. Amen. Let's have a few prayers again. Amen.